Welcome back. Welcome back to Mountain Money. Well, it is indeed a staple on the roads this time of year, and I know several times this weekend I would be passing cars with Christmas trees on top. So how does the business of growing and distributing all those trees work? Here to help us understand the business is Marcia Gray of the Real Christmas Tree Board. Good morning, Marcia, and welcome to Mountain Money.
Well, good morning. Thanks for letting me join the program.
So, Marcia, let's do some big picture parameters. I know it's hard to put an exact number on it, but do you have any sense of, you know, how many real Christmas trees Americans will buy this year and how many states they're grown in?
Well, real Christmas trees are actually interesting. We're grown in every state of the union, but certainly way more in certain states than others. It's kind of hard to grow a Christmas tree in New Mexico, but they do try. Most of the Christmas trees are going to come from our top production regions, such as Oregon is number one, followed by North Carolina, and that would be in the mountain areas. And then Michigan is number three. So geographically, widely spread, but the majority of the trees are growing in those northern states or places that do get the cooler weather. Conifers need that cool weather to really develop well. So although we can grow them everywhere and some different species in the south for sure, that's where you're going to see the high production is coming out of those areas.
I am visualizing a Christmas tree grown in Honolulu, but maybe that's my lack of imagination.
There is a Christmas tree farm in Hawaii, I can tell you that.
Now, are there some southern states that grow a Christmas tree that has softer needles instead of the blue spruce? They light me up every year.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you mention the southern states, we do have a region that is very active growing real Christmas trees on smaller farms, kind of the cut your own, come on in, and what we call choose and cut Christmas trees. And in the south, they grow something, most of their species are cypress species, so they don't look like the Christmas tree that you're used to seeing, the iconic, you know, fir or layered, you know, fir or spruce. Yet they're very popular. It's a locally grown tree. They can grow them much more quickly than we can the other species. They just don't hold up to being transported around the country. So they are definitely something you would find in the South specifically.
Yeah, one of the things we want to do this morning is give our listeners a sense of the way this industry works, right? We've talked about how widespread they are grown, and you talked about how most of them are grown in places like Michigan and Oregon. But can you sort of talk about, like, the nature of the industry? For example, how many of these trees are grown in large farms, typically?
You know, it is the most unique industry that I've ever worked with. Even thinking of all the areas of agriculture, we are, it's something that everyone recognizes, Christmas tree. I don't have to explain it. Yet the farms range in size from a little, you know, couple of acres down the street, some guy growing several trees and they're harvesting, you know, 50, 60 trees a year for their neighborhood, to farms that are harvesting a million Christmas trees. It is that wide ranging. And I get to work with all of them. And I think so many consumers know the small farms, you know, the local, all this, you know, it's 20 acres here, down the road. It is very popular in the eastern half of the U.S. When you get to the Northeast, the Midwest, these cut-your-own farms are not only producing a lot of trees, they usually also sell pre-cut trees from the larger farms. So they're also kind of a key retailer in the eastern half of the U.S., somewhat in the west, but much more so in the east. But yeah, the large farms, and it's really not a huge number of them, but when you look at the top, let's say 50 farms in the U.S., they're producing the majority of the Christmas trees. We also import Christmas trees from Canada. And if you buy a Christmas tree in the U.S., it's produced here in the U.S., or in Canada. And Canada serves a lot of that Northeast corridor, which you can imagine, that perfect trip right down through the New England states, down to New York and Boston.
You know, when you hear talk about a million Christmas trees, I can't help but have this alternative vision of painting the Golden Gate Bridge. I mean, there has to be this constant cycle of planting and replanting. Talk to us a little bit about what the farm life cycle of an operation like that looks like.
That really is what is honestly so unique about the product. Our growers typically produce in what we call a 10-year cycle. It takes about 8 to 10 years from the time they put in a seedling or a transplant. And so we don't plant a seed in the ground. Those are planted in nurseries. And then those little seedlings, and it will depend on the farm. They might take a two-year-old seedling to a four-year-old seedling, anywhere in that range. So I've already got 2 to 4 years under their belt before they even get in the ground. Our producers are planting those seedlings, and from there we're still looking at 8 years to get a living room sized Christmas tree. It's a real real strategy. So if you think on a 10-year rotation, you're going to harvest approximately 1/10 of your farm every year. You want that constant planting rotation cycle happening. And what's even more interesting to consumers, I know sometimes they say, boy, that's a lot of money for a tree. We touch that tree every year. We don't just put it in, walk away, and come back and hope for the best. Whether it's irrigation, nutrition, and actually trimming each tree every single year. We're talking whether it's a simple trim up at the top or a full shearing knife on the entire tree, they get touched every single year they're in the ground. So it's a very labor intense production cycle, along with that literally crystal ball of what is going to happen 10 years from now. How do we plant and what happens to that seedling over that 10-year cycle?
Okay, so they cut the trees, in September, October to ship them for Christmas?
No, October to November. September's a little early. The only trees that get cut that early would be going overseas. If you're thinking, and those typically will be coming maybe out of Oregon, I've got producers that ship to, China, Dubai, a lot of trees we ship a lot from Oregon down to Mexico. And all of those trees actually get shipped on ice. They pack in this, they pack them full of this ice and snow to keep them cooled and to keep them moist over that very long haul trip. But typically the harvest period begins late October, and November is just absolute go time. So we're harvesting millions and millions of trees in a couple of weeks, basically.
Absolutely. So after the trees are harvested, they're put on trucks, boats, whatever. Do they then pull up all the stumps so that in the spring they can plant some new trees, or the stumps just sit there?
There's different methodology depending on the farm. Some do pull stumps. There's a piece of equipment called a stump grinder, and it kind of chops it up and breaks it down, keeps some of that bio material in the field. But depending on the other thing we're always challenged with are potential diseases going through fields. So sometimes removing that material makes sense. If we have any concerns, it's a real labor intensive process. So quite often it's a 1 to 2 year process to turn the field over before we can replant. We want it ready for those new seedlings.
And I realize this is radio, but I'm trying to get a visual in my mind of what one of these farms would look like. Are they just broad, flat areas that have different segments of trees at different stages of life, or do they tend to intersperse trees at different ages? Can you describe a little bit about how that works?
Sure. Well, first of all, what I'm going to suggest, number one, is you aren't going to find a lot of trees on flat land. A little bit in Michigan, but most Christmas trees are grown on hillside. We like the drainage. We like that works really well for the trees. So again, they're grown in those mountain areas in Oregon, in North Carolina. Michigan, that's my home state. We call it the flat land, but we still like those hills and valleys. That's really good for the trees. It's a better way for that water to disperse. But what you're right. So typically on these large farms, we grow in blocks, meaning a big field, all one species, all one size, typically harvested the same year. Cut your own farms or a little bit more tightly managed wholesale farms, they might interplant, meaning we're going to pluck out a certain percentage in 1 year, let the rest of the trees grow a bit, and then pull out the next. Hips get that same field a second time. That's sometimes a technique that is used to get some of the tall trees. There is a demand, consumers are demanding that 9-foot plus tree, and you don't want to plant on such a wide spacing for a 9-foot tree. So they're tighter spacing. They might pull out every other tree 1 year, let the others go for 2 years, and then you've got your tall trees.
Now, with the life cycle that long, a 10-year cycle, what happens if there's a drought in years 3 and 4? How does the supply chain adapt to be able to get a steady output?
Drought is when you look at weather conditions, I mean, these are trees, they're pretty hardy. Weather isn't as meaningful as it would be for a crop like a fruit crop or something of that nature. However, drought is the thing we don't like. And drought really doesn't impact the full size or mature trees. The drought issue really is for those new plantings, the seedlings. So if we get them through 2 years, we generally feel pretty confident they're going to be fine. You may have heard a couple of years ago in the Northwest, in Oregon, we did have some really serious drought and heat issues. That was a pretty unique situation for our growers there. The way we typically handle that, in certain areas in Michigan, we do irrigate. There are areas where we do irrigate, but again, I told you it was flatland. It's easier to irrigate. On a mountainside, it's tough to irrigate. North Carolina gets plenty of moisture. So in the Pacific Northwest, they are looking at some different strategies. Those droughts, what really happened over the last 10 years, they were losing some of their seedlings, their new plantings. So the way you adjust, you plant more the next year. The way you trim the tree, you try to stretch it. We can get a few more inches every year on a tree. We can cut a year off the production cycle. If we have too many trees, we can hold them back a little bit.
Now, do your large growers tend to be vertically integrated? Are they having their own greenhouses to do these seedlings?
Some have their own nurseries where they're producing their own seedlings. That's not uncommon. Where most farms are typically buying them from a seedling nursery, which is their specialty for growing the seedlings. But you will find both options.
What a wonderfully complex industry.
It's insane, yeah. If you asked me 2 weeks ago if I'd be sitting here talking about Christmas trees and the life cycle, I absolutely love it. So now, what do you hear from consumers as to why they choose or why they chose real trees opposed to artificial ones?
The most common response from a consumer is, I love the scent. It's the fragrance. I mean, you get it. I mean, it's so iconic, and you don't even have, you know, it's like you don't have to say a word. You just get that scent, and you go, yep, Christmas tree. Christmas is here. And we do survey consumers every year, and every year, that is number one. The other reasons that we hear a lot of from our consumers of why they're choosing real versus the other option, it's the family time together. It's having some fun, getting out, doing something that's a pleasure with your family. It's not just something, a decoration you put in your home. It's a family outing. It's time together. It's memories being made. And our growers couldn't be more happy to be providing that for consumers all across the U.S.
Now, are real trees sustainable at current usage?
You mean the industry?
The industry, yeah. and keeping the trees rotating, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, 100%. And that's, you know, I think we've gotten to the point where most consumers now understand Christmas trees are grown on farms. They're not harvested from natural stands of wood. And by doing that, by managing those farms and managing that production cycle, we are keeping, you know, plants in the ground, because as we said, we're harvesting 10%. Well, 90% is still there providing oxygen. Our farms provided a massive wildlife habitat. Sometimes our growers get a little frustrated with that wildlife, but they learn to work with it. We coexist. We have to embrace it. It is part of what we do. And if you talk to most of our growers, they say, you know, there is nothing like, my office is walking through that field. It smells great. It looks great. I'm outside. They've got a beautiful office view for sure.
Excellent. Now, so what are some tips for keeping your tree looking as fresh as possible throughout the holiday season? I mean, some people take their trees down right after Christmas. We leave ours going till January.
Yeah, you know, that's usually the number one question for consumers. Okay, now what? I want to go real. What do I do? The good news is it's very simple. The challenge is you have to really do it. We always say fresh tree, fresh cut, fresh water. Start with a fresh tree. If it's been a pre-cut, you want it at a tree, it'll tree lot. We really suggest just test it for freshness before you buy it. Just take your hand, run it down a branch really simply. If one or two needles come away, no big deal. Brown needles, that's natural. But if you're getting a lot of green needles coming off on your hand, you probably want to skip that tree. It maybe got left in the sun or got it exposed to wind or something. Find a fresh tree, at the lot, make sure they put a cut on the bottom of the tree. You want to slice off about a half inch of that stump. That opens it up, so when you get it home, you put it in the stand in water or in a bucket of water in the garage. I don't care where you do it. Get it into water. Check that water. For the first couple days, I check it twice a day. It can drink an awful lot. Mm-hmm. If it was dry at all, it's going to take up that water. And then just check it every day. Keep the water level up. You're good to go. It's simply watering your tree. But the hard part is remembering to do it every day.
Okay, so you mentioned garage. So is it 100% necessary to put a fresh tree in the garage for the first night?
No, no, no. I was just meaning whatever you do, if you're not going to put it in the stand or display it right away, just put it in water. I don't care where that water source comes from. So,
gotcha. Because I grew up in Connecticut, and we always would cut our own tree, and it would always live in the garage the first night. And then we just cut a tree the other day up in the mountains, and I had to tell my wife, we have to put it in the garage. She goes, why? I said, I don't know. It's just what you do.
We just did that, right? It was probably your parents weren't ready to bring it in, and they just stuck it in the garage. But as long as, I didn't know that was a thing, but as long as you're getting it in water, I'm okay wherever you put it.
Good. And my garage looked really good, so.
Okay. As I'm listening and enjoying this interview immensely, I'm sort of visualizing a Hallmark movie set at a Christmas tree farm because it is so holiday-oriented. Marcia, it's been delightful to spend time with you this morning. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it, and have a wonderful holiday.
We'll be right back after this.